Good morning. I am excited this morning as we begin our new series called Overflow. How many of you remember as children being told to behave? Did anybody ever hear that word, behave? How many of you ever grew up then and said that to your children, behave? Maybe you reminded them of it as they're going into school or you're getting ready to drop them off at a friend's house to spend the night, and you'll remind them, hey, behave, be good. Most of us grew up knowing that we had to behave or face consequences, right? And so it was just a couple weeks ago, the kids were in here with us, and Chad called them all up to the stage, and they talked about at school, you go to the safe seat if you're not making very good decisions. And if you're making great decisions, then you get a little slip of paper called the Got Caught Being Good. And you get a piece of candy with that. And the kids are a big fan of that. And so all of these rewards and consequences are based on behavior. And as children, when we're young, we're taught then that we need to monitor our behavior, right? And we begin to change it if it's going according to plan. So we change our behavior so that we can avoid pain, so that we can avoid consequences. And then we've learned how to do that ever since as adults, hopefully. But then we also learn that we like rewards. Kids love that piece of candy. And we start to see in junior high and high school and college that hard work and doing well will get you places in life, right? And then you go to your job and you notice that if you act a certain way, it can help you in your career. And so you begin to do things differently on the job. And you've probably noticed that there are things that you do at home that you don't do at work, right? There are things that you just don't say at work. Some of you might want to sometimes, but you don't say them. You've probably learned how to get along with people who are difficult because that helps you in your career. So we've learned as adults how to act to be successful in life. But that's okay, and it's good, right? We want to be successful. We want to do the right thing. It can start to be a problem if we've learned to act so well that we are allowed to ignore the true conditions of our heart. And some of us have the feeling that as long as we're acting okay and we're saying the right thing, that everything is fine. Because that's what we learned when we were young, right? Think for a second about questions you were asked every day growing up. Or maybe you're still growing up and you're still getting asked these questions. Or if you're a parent of young children right now, think about questions that you ask every day. Were you good today? Did you brush your teeth? That's a big one for little boys especially. I thought that it was just my little boy, but then we took like 8 of them to kids' camp this summer, and every day I said, brush your teeth. And you know, at the end of the week, only one had brushed his teeth one time, and they were really proud of that. And, my little guy, he does not like brushing his teeth. And I remember when he was like 7, I said, did you brush your teeth? And he said, yes. And he kind of had this smirk on his face. And I'm like, why is he smiling about brushing his teeth? And then I thought for a second and I said, wait, did you brush your teeth today? And he's like, oh, today. No, I didn't brush them today. You got to be more specific, Mom. So that's a question that we ask every day. Did you brush your teeth? Did you clean your room? Did you guys ever get asked that one? And we hear that one a lot. Chad said when he was young, he just shoved everything under the bed and in the closet because if it looked clean, then it was okay. Sometimes, do you guys ever get asked, did you do good on your test? People get asked that quite a bit. So these questions we ask a lot of our kids, and we were asked them a lot. And it shows what's important to us. And they teach us to change our behavior so that we can answer in a way that will be pleasing to someone else, right? So if the rule in your house was no TV until you've done your homework, and every time you asked Mom, can I watch TV, she said, did you do your homework? Pretty soon, before you watch TV or ask to watch TV, what are you going to do? Your homework. You're going to change your behavior so that you're making Mom happy. And these questions are good, and it's good to do all of these things, right? I hope you brushed your teeth this morning. I'm going to be honest. But the problem with them can be because they're all focused on behavior. And it's entirely possible for a child to answer every single one of those questions right and still have a heart problem. And it can be the same way for us. Sometimes we can do all the right things, and we're saying all of the right things, but everything's not okay in our heart. Proverbs 4:20-23 says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it." Everything. Heart disease is called the silence killer. Have you ever heard that nickname before? It actually kills more people in the U.S. every year than cancer. 1 in 4 Americans die of heart disease. Half of people who have had a heart attack don't even know that they've had one. That's where it got the name the silent killer. And a lot of people don't even experience symptoms until they have a big problem. They think nothing was wrong, and then boom, one day they've just had a heart attack. And they'll say, "There was no warning sign. I didn't know it was coming. It just bubbled up out of nowhere, and boom, it was here." But you know that really, it didn't happen that way. Things had been building up and creating blockages and causing damage for a long time. It's just that nobody saw it. And it's that way with our spiritual hearts as well. Life can be hard on us, and we can start to put up blockages, and we can start to have things that are clogging up our spiritual hearts, and yet it's the hub that everything flows out of. It said everything comes from the heart. Your relationships, your thoughts, the things that you're going to be saying, your relationship with God, it's the center of everything, and yet sometimes it can get so damaged. And we can be tempted after a while to say something like, "Well, that's just the way I am." Or, "It's just a personality flaw. We have to get used to it." But that's a very poor excuse. It's not the way that we were created to be. And so today, I want us to ask a question that we should probably be asking our children, but that we should most definitely be asking ourselves every day, because it's truly what's important in life.
Good morning. I'm Dr. May. I'll be checking your heart today. So I have a question for you. How is your heart? Not how's your family, not how's your job, not how's your to-do list. How is your heart? Not your physical heart, but your spiritual heart. You know, we have a lot of enemies in life. And when it comes to our spiritual heart, the first one I think of is the devil. We talk about it a lot. And as much as the devil is an enemy to us, you can even have enemies in life. You can have people that maybe you didn't get along with throughout life. And if you see them walking down the street, you can avoid them. If you see them in Walmart, you can go to the next aisle. That may not be right that you do that, but you can do that. But with these enemies I'm going to talk about today that Courtney and I are going to discuss and that we're going to discuss for the next few weeks, these are invisible enemies that happen in our hearts. And these four things that we're going to talk about are guilt, anger, greed, and jealousy. These things are invisible. They're hard to know that they're even there. Sometimes they creep in when we don't want them to. But the truth is, they're there. Now, how many of you would be honest and say you like going to the doctor? Anyone? Exactly. That's kind of why it's a pretty big joke that I'm in this outfit, because I hate the doctor. Sorry if there's any doctors in here, but I do not like going to the doctor. Why? Because doctors are intrusive. Now, they have to be to figure out the problem, but they get into your close personal space, which I don't like. And you have to let them poke you and jab you in places that you don't want. And they look at things and they're always poking at you, trying to find the problem. And it makes you feel uncomfortable, does it not? That's why I don't like the doctor. But I want to ask you some questions today that might be a little intrusive. But I think they're worth asking, because we will ask ourselves, how is it in my heart? The first question I want to ask, is there anything currently going on in your life that you hope no one discovers. Think about that. Is there a question that you hope no one will ask you because you may not like the answer? Are you angry with anyone? Have you celebrated someone's failure in the last week or two? Scrolling through Facebook, hearing something on the phone. When's the last time we celebrated someone's success? And the last one is this. When was the last time you gave generously to something without expecting something in return? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves to monitor our hearts. We have to be aware of the condition of our heart because the things we're talking about, once again, we can't see them coming. We don't know they're there. And all of a sudden, they're just there. And all of a sudden, we have a problem. And just like heart disease, you can have a damaged heart long before you know it. And I think there's a perfect example of this in the Bible. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. And I'll get rid of this ridiculous looking outfit. Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 1 through 20. It says, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Obviously, he did not like their question at all. For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father and mother is put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. Listen to this. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You know, Jesus even got angry. He said, you hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. So Jesus, he calls the crowd to him and says this, listen and understand. He didn't want them just to hear the words. He wanted them to understand. So as we read this, don't just hear what we're reading. Try to understand what we're reading. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. But what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? And Jesus replies like this, every plant that my heavenly Father has planted will be pulled up by the roots. Lead them. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Now we have Peter, who was a little slow. He didn't always get it, so he says, explain the parable to us. I love Jesus' response. Are you so dull? Jesus asked him. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from their heart. These defile them. For out of your heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile a person. It only means you just don't have good hygiene, right? It might be gross, but it does not defile a person. So this morning, we have a heart and some lips. And the idea is that with every behavior, everything we do, if it's not matching up with our hearts when we say something, they get further and further apart. So we're going to read some simple examples to you that maybe you've heard in your life. The first one would be this. Your coworker gets a promotion and you say congratulations. However, inside, you're really not happy for them. And then you wind up a little further from your lips.
Your friend just lost a bunch of weight, and she looks great in her new clothes. And you say you're her friend, but you're never going to tell her that she looks good because deep down, it bothers you. Why is that?
This is not good. We're moving further away. You have an argument with your spouse, and you say you're okay, when really, you're still pretty mad. Here we go again.
You say that you wish you had more money to give to people who need it, but you just don't have enough, except you just went out and got the iPhone 7.
Ouch. You bought your kid the latest toy and took them to the best amusement park. And you say it's because you love them so much. But deep down, it's because you feel guilty for not being the parent you wish you were. See, these things have divided our hearts and our lips. And this was Jesus' problem with these Pharisees. They knew how to act the right way. Unfortunately, their hearts were disgusting. And his goal was to get them to understand that the heart is what matters. Jesus confronted them and he reminded them that what comes out of their mouth is coming directly from their hearts. And it's not just our mouths. Even what is in our mind, it said our evil thoughts don't just come from our mind, they come from our hearts. Many times we think by acting the right way, we can disguise what's really going on inside. And we can for so long. But after a while, what's in our heart is going to catch up to our behavior. And when that happens, the ugly comes out. So that's what this series is going to be about for the next few weeks. And I want to share this reality with you. If you really are to think about this, think about the environment that you set in different places. In your workplace, around your family. When you walk in the room, are people happy that you're there? Or does it put them on edge? Now I'll give you a good example, because we don't just want to focus on the negative. You see, because we can have a good heart, and that can come out just as easily as the bad. So I think of Courtney's grandpa in this situation. I've mentioned him before. He passed away several years ago. But he was a godly, loving man who everywhere he went, people loved him. People were happy to be around him. They were happy to see him. He changed the environment when he was in the room. I watched people who would just light up to see him. And at family events, all the family was happier that he was there. But that can work the other way. When you walk into the room with your family, do they go, oh no, what kind of mood is he going to be in today? When you walk into your place of business, are people on edge thinking, do I want to say hello or not? All of that comes from our hearts.
I don't know if any of you guys remember the movie Liar Liar. It came out when I was, I think, like in high school. So it's an older movie, and it's not one I necessarily recommend that you go out and see. But the basic idea is that he is a lawyer. And so in his profession, he is not being honest as a lawyer, but then he's also not being honest to his family. And he keeps letting his son down over and over again because he's lying to them. And so finally, his little boy makes a wish on his birthday, and he wishes that his daddy wouldn't be able to lie anymore. And the wish comes true. And so all of a sudden, this man, every time he'd open his mouth, the truth of what's in his heart and his mind just comes flying out, and he can't stop it. And so, of course, it's funny, and it gets him into a lot of trouble because he has to tell the truth. But it's an interesting thought. What if that happened to us? A lot of us kind of just put up with the things in our hearts, and we deal with them, and we're not forced to change because we're so good at modifying our behavior. But what if our hearts were completely exposed? What if everybody could see the things that we hide? What if we looked like on the outside what we were really like on the inside? And people saw that we had hurt or unforgiveness or anger or bitterness, jealousy, or a critical spirit. We might be a lot more motivated to change if other people could see exactly what was in our hearts. And, you know, sometimes we notice that we've started to slip a bit. Like, we thought we had it under control. And normally I don't let people see when I'm angry, but lately there's this edge in my voice, and it's even kind of scaring me. Or, like we were talking about earlier, I don't know why I just can't be happy for other people. It's kind of a weird thing. Or why am I doing things motivated out of guilt or fear? And we start to notice those symptoms, and so we find ourselves saying things like, "Oh, I can't believe I just said that. That's not like me at all. I can't believe I did that. Well, where did that come from?" And we take ourselves off guard. And yet Matthew 12:34 says, it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. It's the overflow. When we lived in Bolivar, we had this huge tree, and it dropped what we called sweet gum balls. They're like little round things with pointy sprigs all over them. And I want to say it dropped thousands of them. Maybe it just felt like thousands, but they were all over the yard. And they would drop on the cars, and so the gunk would get on the car. You would step on them, and the gunk would be on your shoe, and you'd carry it into the house. And we would get sick of it. And so every so often, we'd go out, and we'd rake them all up, and we'd bag them up. Let's just be honest, mostly Chad rakes them up, and Chad bags them up. Full disclosure there. And so we get rid of all of them, and it felt so good because the yard was clean, and the yard looked nice. And then, like, 2 days later, we would wake up and go outside, and they would all be back. And we had a problem, right? And so we probably could have, like, trimmed the limbs, but that would have only helped for so long because they were still going to drop and they were going to eventually grow back. The tree kept dropping its fruit, so to speak. And we could keep cleaning up the garbage. It was a lot of work, but it was a very temporary solution, right? Because the tree was just going to drop more garbage. The only solution that we really would have had would have been to just cut the tree down right at the roots. And I really want you guys to hear our hearts this morning, because some of us are so frustrated in our Christian walk. We keep cleaning up our behaviors over and over again. And we think, okay, now I've got it. Now I'm going to start fresh. And I have a new goal. And I've got healthy habits. And everything's going to be okay. And for a while, it is. But then the garbage starts to spill over again, and it starts to leak out. And so we pick up our bad behavior, and we apologize to the people that we love. Usually it's at the expense of our family and those who are close to us. And we say, I won't lash out in anger again. I promise I'll never do that again. I promise I won't make this mistake. And then we do. We didn't mean to, but we do it all over again. And so we start doling out those apologies again. But in the end, all of our good intentions and all of that behavior cleaning, nothing ever changed. And the whole point of this series is that we have to get to the root of the problem if we're going to ever solve it. And I just hurt because sometimes I see people that I care about and they're just kind of beating their heads against the wall of Christianity over and over and over. And they're just like, why can't I overcome this problem? Why do I keep dealing with this? Why won't God help me deal with this? I'm so tired of it. And yet they never got to the root of the problem. So this morning, think about, what is the source of those hurtful words that fly out of your mouth? What's the reason behind the jealous actions that you're always sweeping up? Why are you so motivated by fear and guilt? Because you might think that, you know, the outburst was just the exception and you didn't really mean it. But the truth is, you just didn't mean to say it, because it was really the overflow of what was already in your heart. And so this morning, how is your heart? Because if we don't deal with the problem, we don't get honest with ourselves, it's not going to go away. We know that we can guard our behaviors, but we can only do that for so long. It's guarding our heart that will finally solve the problem.
One of the things we know about God is that He sees us from the inside out. And that's hard for us to understand or think about, because we as people are all about appearance. If I'm buying a car, I'm buying the one that I like, that looks good to me. If I'm buying a house, I'm going to look at the appearance. If I'm meeting someone, we always tend to look them up and down and see how they look, how they dress. Everything is based on appearance. And it's hard for us to mentally think about people like God does from the inside out. But I'm so glad that He does. Because it doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't even matter our behaviors God cares about our insides. That's why we want to monitor our hearts. And we want to allow God into our hearts to fix those things that are going wrong. To look at our hearts and say, what needs to be done? That's why we're here today, is to monitor our hearts. We must think more like God and think from the inside out when we think of people. Every conversation you have, the heart seeps into that conversation. Every relationship you have, every area of your life is going to be affected by your heart. And so the idea is to not just conceal what your heart is thinking with your good behavior, but to actually behave from what is in your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick." Think about this. We're talking about our hearts, and all the time we're trying to act like the perfect person and be the perfect person, and we're expecting others to be perfect as well. Yet if we read this, it says the heart is deceitful above all things and actually desperately sick. Who can even understand it? Now, we can understand the physical heart. Yeah, I can get a medical book, and if I read long enough and watched enough videos, I could find out how the physical heart works. But it's hard for us to understand the spiritual heart. It's hard for us to comprehend that. Here's the good news this morning. God understands it. The one who created you, the one who molded you, knows your heart better than you do. That is good news this morning. Because no matter what's going on in there that's wrong, if you give him access to it, if you allow him to work on it, you're going to find healing. You're going to find the doctor who can do the work that needs to be done. That's the good news today. Paul understood this better than any of us. He actually understood it so well that he said, "I'm sure of this." Actually, he goes beyond that. Some translations say, he says, "I'm confident of this." Philippians 1:6. He says, "I'm sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." We can be sure of that today. We can know that God understands our heart way more than we do. And the health and the wholeness that we need is right here for you today. No matter what you're struggling with, if it's anger, if it's jealousy, if it's greed, it's okay. Because God is the healer. He is the doctor. For the next few weeks, as we examine our hearts, I want to kick the guilt to the curb. And I want to give anger a black eye. And I want to show greed what it means to give. And I want us to tell jealousy to hit the road and make a difference in our own lives. That's why we're here today. We don't just come to feel good and say, "Well, I got my church for the week. All is well, and I'll come back next week." We're sick people. Do you understand that scripture in Jeremiah? The heart is sick. And Jesus even said, "I didn't come for the well, I came for the sick." That's you and me. And if we accept that, and we look at it and say, "What needs to change? I don't know, I don't understand it, but God does." Do you believe that today? I hope you do. I hope that's why you're here. Is to walk away a better, healthier you. You know why? Because once again, everyone around you will reap the benefits of that. Everyone will see that change. How great for your family to go, "Man, you seem like a different person. You're more fun to be around. I want to be more like you." How healthy would that be? How encouraging would that be? That's why Psalm 19:4 says this. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart," not the meditation of my mind. That's not good enough. "The meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." That's why we're here today. And here's another reality for you. You didn't get where you are overnight. It's taken a long time. And so it's not going to be better overnight. God can do miracles. God can do great things. But it's as we allow him access to our heart and begin to work. It says he will continue doing that until the day of Christ Jesus. That means it's continual. It's every single day saying, "God, check my heart. What's in there that shouldn't be? What do I need to get rid of to be a better person? To be more like you? Now, I want to end today a little different than we normally do. We're not going to just pray. I want you to stand to your feet. And we're going to proclaim something together. We're going to say this. I'm going to put it on the screen. And as we read this, I want you to not just say it from your head, not just from your lips. Our goal is to get this heart and these lips closer together to where they line up. And what we're saying and what we're doing match up with our hearts. So I'm going to read a line and then I want you to say it with me, okay? I know it's a little different, but I want you to say it like you mean it. Like your coach is encouraging you before the game and you're ready to go. So here we go. I will not give in, give up, or give out. That wasn't bad, but we're going to do better. Are you ready? I will not give in, give up, or give out. I will confess God's promises. I will have faith in God. And I will move mountains. Because my heart is good. I lost my place. There we go. My faith is strong. My enemy is a liar. And I don't believe his lies anymore. Because I am a child of the living God. I'm receiving my inheritance right now. Every word and every promise that God has given, I receive. We're not done yet. Here we go. I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. To be conformed to who God says I am. I'm advancing the kingdom in my life. I will not grow weary in the fight. For he who began a good work in me. All right, let's get it back together and let's say that again. For he who began a good work in me. Come on. For he who began a good work in me. We'll bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Come on, if you believe that, give him a shout right now. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Praise God. He's working on you right now. And you need to believe these words. These aren't just things we're saying. What's the scripture, man? And just read it. Just read it and understand God wants to do something in your heart today. Now, I'm getting excited, so let me slow down here just a minute. If you're being baptized today, I need to let you go. We're going to have them go change, and we're going to have 6 baptisms this morning because God is working on people. Amen? Amen. It's awesome. You can be seated. And this morning, if you're here and you need prayer, this is your opportunity. Maybe you don't have God in your heart. Maybe you've never accepted that. Here's the good news. He's already initiated some type of contact with you or you wouldn't be here. Even if you haven't accepted Christ in your heart, you would not be here if someone didn't invite you or if God didn't give you a nudge to get up this morning and come to church. So you're here for a reason. And here's the thing. Once again, we don't just come so that we can just say, well, I got my church for the week. We need to walk away a healthier, better us. And sometimes that means allowing God to do some work in us. Are you willing to let him do that today? So if you need prayer today, we want to invite you forward. Courtney or I would be glad to pray with you. I am going to get on the guitar and we're going to sing a song. So maybe today, Courtney will be glad to pray with you. But here's the thing. You don't even have to, if you just want a time with God, maybe you don't need us to pray with you. It's something you need to just talk to God about. That's why these altars are here. I say altars, this area is here. It's for you to let God do some work in your life. So as we sing this song, as we allow those people getting ready to be baptized, as they get ready, I want us to focus on our hearts this morning. So maybe you just close your eyes right where you're at. And as we're being quiet, examine your own heart. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. And it's a good thing. Because you know exactly what we need today. God, as we examine our hearts and as we allow you to examine our hearts. We ask that you do some work in us. Lord, whatever's in there that doesn't need to be, we pray that you just take it right now. In your name we pray. Amen.